This is the Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW, the show that brings you valuable information about real estate, the financial markets, and other economic business of the day. Your host, Edward Brown, is a nationally recognized expert on money and investing who has appeared on CNN and has published numerous articles in national business magazines and newspapers. Now, your host for the Best of Investing, Edward Brown.
Welcome. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mark Honf of Pacific Private Money. Our phone number is 888-912-1190. Use that number to answer the trivia questions for a five-pack tanning certificate. That certificate's not given away by the radio station, but by Tan Bella Tanning Salon, with two locations in San Francisco and one in Marin. Today's trivia theme is TV and film. Now, we have a special guest on the phone. We've had him on at least twice. Gary Schlossberg, who is Wells Fargo's chief economist. And Gary, we are absolutely honored to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me along.
Okay. Hey, Gary, I think the topic of the week would probably be somewhat obvious, and that is interest rates. And it's amazing, you know, Edward and I have been doing this show for, 8 years now, and we do shows at the beginning of the year where we talk about, who's predicting where rates in the economy are going. And I think for the last 5 years in a row...
we've all been wrong.
The pundits have all predicted, 5% mortgage rates by the end of the year, and here we are now talking about mortgage rates maybe dipping down once again. Are you surprised by what's going on in the economy this year?
Well, we've been calling for higher interest rates over the past several years. That on the assumption that inflation would eventually stabilize, turn the corner a bit. This year, though, early on, it was clear that rates would be moving lower. The Federal Reserve shifted gears. It became what we call more dovish, becoming increasingly clear, transparent about actually lowering rates. And the reason for that was all the uncertainty out there over slowing growth overseas, the trade war with China, the fact that inflation never really did come around. It was percolating for a while, but really has stayed down, and that helps drive long-term rates. To which the fixed-rate mortgage is tied, particularly the 10-year yield. So a couple of things came together, and it was clear early in the year that, once again, we were headed in the wrong direction, at least in terms of our forecast. Great for a home buyer, though.
Yeah. So one of the things, I was reading a blog this morning, actually, and they were talking about negative yields overseas, like in Germany and Japan. And one of the reasons that this gentleman was giving was there's a lot of retiree money that's sitting in cash, sitting in their banks, and yet there's not enough younger people who are borrowing. So the banks can't pay interest if they're not earning interest.
Well, certainly the demographics aren't helping in terms of home buying, other borrowing, although Europe, I think, historically has been a little more conservative, certainly households, than households here about taking on debt. But really, I think more of it is simply the fact that economic growth there is weak. Part of that, again, demographics and aging population, slower population growth, but a slower recovery from the financial meltdown 10 years ago as well. And the central bank has been responding to that by becoming even more aggressive over the years than our own Federal Reserve, and actually buying up securities longer and more aggressively than our central bank. In fact, there's every indication that they'll be back at it again after ending the program, back at it again late this year, early in 2020.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that our interest rates are going down, is that they're buying a lot of our treasuries, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The negative yields have had a spillover effect. Money is what we call fungible. It moves around very easily, and negative yields aren't all that attractive to investors. There are reasons why investors in Europe are continuing to buy negative yielding security.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that to me, because I'm looking at it and I'm going, I make more money putting it under a mattress than I do putting it in the bank. That doesn't make sense to
me. That's only if you hold the security to maturity. If you still think that or if you think that economic growth is going to be very weak there, the economy falling into a recession, inflation and inflation expectations moving lower, the central bank still very stimulative and pumping money into the system, then those rates could become even more negative, as they will if, as we expect, the European Central Bank comes in and actually lowers rates from where they are now. In other words, making them more negative. As rates move lower or even become increasingly negative, bond prices benefit from that. So there is the issue of trading profits. You can still make a price gain. In other words, bonds are becoming more and more like stocks. Most of the return coming from price changes, less from interest rates. The other element out there is that if you are so fearful of the outlook, better to lock in a loss now than take your chance with another security in Europe, for example, or anywhere else for that matter, if you're really frightened of the financial markets. And there is a certain amount of locking effect as well. So you can see where investors might be inclined to continue investing in those securities. On top of that, banks, pension funds, insurance companies, particularly in Europe, do have to hold a certain amount of government securities, or at least are inclined to. And so even as those yields turn negative, they may shave their allocation, but they still will hold a certain amount of those securities. Now, back to the earlier question, money does move around with negative yields. All those other investors that really don't have to take those negative yields will move to where yields are still positive. And one of the biggest markets, of course, is in the U.S. So even though our yields are lower, at least they're positive. You get foreign money moving in, it drives the price of the security up, and that drives the yield down a bit. One reason, incidentally, why we have what's called a negative yield, an inverted yield curve, but we can get into that later if you'd like.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have to cut to a commercial break. When we get into that, we'll get into that next commercial break.
Or next segment,
Next segment. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're talking here TV and film. Trivia question number one, and Gary, if you know the answer, don't say anything until we get back.
Okay.
In the TV show Shark Tank, who gave the nickname Mr. Wonderful to Kevin O'Leary? All right, so you have to know the show for that one. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate. In the TV show Shark Tank, who gave the nickname Mr. Wonderful to Kevin O'Leary? Stay with us. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm Edward Brown with Mark Hanf and our special guest, Wells Fargo Chief Economist Gary Schlossberg. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hoff and our special guest, Gary Schlossberg. First trivia question. On the TV show Shark Tank, who gave the nickname Mr. Wonderful to Kevin O'Leary?
Was that Mark Cuban?
No.
It wasn't?
No, it was before he got on the show.
Barbara Corcoran?
But yes, Barbara Corcoran. Yes, he goes, oh, you're just Mr. Wonderful, aren't you? All right, so on the phone, we have Wells Fargo Chief Economist Gary Schlossberg. And Gary, we sort of teased the audience when we were exiting the last segment about inverted yield curves. And I remember being in college, and at the time, you could get 16% on a money market fund from an FDIC-insured bank. But if you wanted to go longer term, like a treasury bond, which, you know, can theoretically everything's guaranteed by the government in this instance, it was like 12 or 9%. And I'm going, wait a minute, short-term rates are high and long-term rates are low. What's going on? And someone had to explain this inverted yield curve, which basically meant investors and everybody were expecting yields to drop.
Right. Those yields expected to drop, and in fact, the inverted yield curve has done a very good job over the years of anticipating an economic slowdown. There have been times when the curve has inverted, 1998, for example, the economy didn't roll over into a recession. But typically, historically, it's been a good predictor, and certainly is a yellow flag this time around as well. Good predictor because short rates, as you pointed out, were rising more rapidly than long rates. The Federal Reserve chasing inflation, and that's one difference between then and now, chasing higher inflation, trying to stay out in front of that, what we call the inflation curve. And as they continued to do that, investors anticipating a slowing economy and a leveling out and a decline in inflation, at least temporarily, it demanded less for their longer-dated securities, less yield, or at least the yield leveled out. Now, keep in mind that there was still an advantage in locking in those yields because they would persist for a while, whereas if you were in a money fund, once the Federal Reserve stopped raising rates, those short-term interest rates geared very much to what the Fed's doing would be coming down. So even at a lower yield, it paid to lock in a longer-dated security. Now, flash forward to the current situation. Certainly, the inverted curve could be signaling a slowing economy and investors demanding less yield because of an anticipated economic slowdown and lower inflation. However, the difference this time around is that the Federal Reserve isn't chasing higher inflation. In fact, the Federal Reserve is easing policy. It's cutting interest rates. Longer-term rates are falling more rapidly than the decline in money market rates. The Federal Reserve has only begun to cut rates, we assume, making that first cut in a decade back at the end of July. But the bond market is seeing those yields falling more rapidly. Now, certainly some of that may be due to concern about the outlook, but keep in mind as well, lower inflation and reduced inflation expectations could be due to factors other than the expectation of a slowing economy. In fact, when rates are declining, that's the big difference now compared to historically when the curve was inverting with higher rates. With rates coming down, you would think that that would ease the pressure and reduce the risk of an economic slowdown. So that, to me, is one difference. You never want to say it's different this time, but this is
a difference
in the backdrop. The other thing gets back to the other element there gets back to that foreign demand securities.
Yeah.
That may be driving those long-term rates lower as well. But really, fundamentally, the difference is that this curve, this inverted curve, is occurring amid declining rates, not rising rates. And, of course, that has implications for banks as well.
And do you don't see a negative yield coming to America, mostly because there's still a lot of demand for debt, right?
Well, if it's for that reason that you could see yields continue to move lower. We're not that far above zero. Yeah. Some analysts are expecting yields on longer-dated securities to approach zero, much like they are in Europe. But that would be due in large part, I think, to foreign demand. It could also be due to inflation coming down here. I wouldn't look for a big drop in inflation, enough sufficient to bring that rate down, the bond yield down to zero or below that, but you never want to say never.
I mean, I would love to be able to go to the bank and borrow on 30-year money at 0% on my house.
Yeah, well, that's what the Federal Reserve is trying to avoid. They don't want
don't avoid it!
Those rates down. Well, it does have a negative side effect.
Yeah, it does,
because when yields are negative, banks aren't making money on an inverted curve when when you have a negative spread between the cost of their borrowing funding and the cost and the yield that they're making on a loan. So what you're finding is that lending in Europe, which for corporations, incidentally, those corporations are more dependent on bank loans than bonds than they are here in the U.S. But one reason for weak lending activity in Europe may be due to the fact that the margins there aren't all that attractive. Banks are looking for other ways to make money. So it comes under careful what you wish for. Those negative yields may look attractive to a borrower, but it's getting the money that could be a bit more problematic. It creates distortions in the financial markets that I think we'd be better off avoiding. Our yields are low. No sense asking for more than that.
Gary, let's pivot a bit. Given what we're seeing happening in the economy right now with both short-term and potentially long-term interest rates declining, which definitely was not what we were predicting at the beginning of the year, how has that adjusted your forecast for what you see potentially happening in 2020?
Well, to some extent, it certainly lessens the risk of a recession. However, to the extent that this reflects not only a weakening economy, and over the past couple of months, we have become a little more concerned about the outlook, but it also, and I'll get into why in a moment, but it's really related in part to the other element there, the uncertainty created by this trade war, by the slowing growth overseas, the kinds of things that the Federal Reserve was talking about and justifying its rate cut at the end of July. The economy seemed to be holding up a bit better then, but over the past couple of weeks, we've been seeing a little bit of spillover from the weakness in what we call trade-sensitive areas of the economy, notably manufacturing, business investment, which is tied to some extent, particularly for the big multinational companies, to what's happening overseas. We've seen some spillover from the weakness there, and conditions have been weakening a bit, still growing, but growing at a slowing rate, a spillover to the dominant part of the economy, non-manufacturing, services activity, very labor-intensive, a lot of hiring there. And as growth has weakened, there is concern that job growth may weaken, and that's an important driver of consumer spending, which on the demand side of the ledger has been the main driver of economic growth in the economy.
And do you think our Fed chairman is doing a decent job?
Well, I think the communication could be a bit better. There has been some flip-flopping out there. Admittedly, he, like the rest of us, has been broadsided a bit by changing events. But I think there was a little complacency as the Fed was trying to, what we call, normalize rates, move them up in 2018 about some weakness in the economy. I mean, the pressure, the political pressure, is certainly unwanted and could do damage down the road. But I think the president had a point at the time. The economy may not be that resilient to those increases in rates. And the Fed, I think, was a little, I wouldn't call it cavalier. They're always on watch. But I don't think there was the sensitivity that there could have been until they were forced to reverse direction.
Gotcha. Hey, Gary, we have to cut to another break.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the reasons I was asking that is I'm wondering if we have to bring back Paul Volcker. Yeah. All right.
Well, he was one of the, well, we can get into that a little.
Yeah, okay.
Bit. One of the better governors.
There you go.
Reserve.
All right. Here's our second trivia question. And then I know, Gary, you're going to have to go pretty soon. Maybe we'll have you on for another segment or a half segment, and then you'll have to go. I understand.
Sure.
Okay. Second trivia question is, which film features the line, "I could have been a contender"? All right. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate. Stay with us. The Best of Investing will be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hoff and our special guest, Gary Schlossberg, who is Wells Fargo's chief economist. Second trivia question was, which film features the line, "I could have been a contender"?
Gary, you know that one?
I think it was On the Waterfront.
It is On the Waterfront. Very good.
I didn't know that one.
I think it was 1952.
Wow. Yeah, I don't have the year, but I'll trust you on that.
So I got to share with you, Gary. So I'm a Wells Fargo client, and I have a really good mortgage specialist I used here out of San Francisco to help me refinance my home recently, and she got me a jumbo 7-1 ARM, which is, for you listeners, a variable rate loan fixed for 7 years. And we closed just recently, just the end of last month, at 3.25. And I thought that was just a great rate, given where you're seeing and what people are now potentially predicting about long-term rates. Do you think I might have an opportunity to maybe even refinance that into a better rate in the coming months?
Well, you don't want to take what I say to the bank, given my track record. Given that the Federal Reserve, I mean, the odds of at least another cut in interest rates at the September 18th FOMC policy meeting, those odds are going up again. In fact, in the Fed Funds futures market, they're still at 100%, and the probability of a 50 or half percentage point cut has gone up a bit over the past couple of days. I don't think that's going to happen, but a lot can happen between now and then. It really depends on the economy. But I would say that depending on how this trade battle with China plays out, that could have an increasingly serious effect, apparent effect, on the economy if the spillover to services continues to build. And in that case, we could see more rate cutting into 2020, pretty much what the market is for. They're forecasting a recession, four or five rate cuts between now and early 2021. I don't think that's going to happen, but certainly the economy seems to be tiptoeing in that direction. Hopefully it'll improve.
I know you work on a national basis, Gary, for Wells Fargo, and when you talk about the economy, you're probably talking, probably from a nationwide perspective. But here in California, of course, and on our show here, we talk a lot about California real estate, and I know we tend to be maybe wear rose-colored glasses here on this show. And I know personally, I'm a real estate lender, and I'm still pretty bullish on California real estate. Anything that you know and see that gives you any concern about where we are with here in California with our real estate market?
Well, fundamentally, there's a housing shortage in many parts of the state, so that tends to provide a good underpinning. When you marry that with the fact that we've got a healthy economy, at least for the moment, tech-driven, here in the Bay Area, one of the stronger areas of the state, and we have mortgage rates moving lower, that's certainly a positive. Now, you know, on the margin, you're seeing some erosion because houses are becoming so expensive that even tech workers have been, there have been reports of tech workers migrating up to Seattle, which isn't all that cheap either, but it is a healthy economy and housing is a little bit more affordable. I might add that if we do go through the ringer on the economy, you could see prices soften for a time. But again, I think the downside, certainly here in the Bay Area, I think would be limited by tight supply. So unless you really get an unraveling of the economy, and given that it's geared toward tech, I think any decline would be fairly limited. I remember during the real estate bust in the late 80s, early 90s, down the peninsula, home prices for a very short period of time dropped 30 to 35%. That was in a six-month period. Within 6 months, you had a roll-in. People in the East Bay and the exurbs began to roll in. I'm not sure who they sold their homes to, but because affordability improved, you had this backfill, and in no time at all, prices had rebounded. So you don't want to be complacent. Things can happen, but when you look at the supply and the demand balance, unless something dramatic happens with mortgage rates, I think we're in a reasonably good market. Now, one issue is the high home prices mean that down payments are very high, and that affects the first-time home buyer, which is feeding the base. I know trade-up demand has been very strong. You may have a better read on this than I do, but that nationwide, at least, is an area of concern that these down payments are really dampening demand by first-time home buyers, even as mortgage rates have fallen.
You know, as short-term lenders, you know, we keep our, you know, ear to the ground when it comes to valuations. And I'm a little bit nervous and have been and shared on this show nervousness over prices per square foot, particularly from San Francisco to San Jose, approaching and exceeding $2,000 a square foot. And I'm just, I always wonder, you know, if we have a hiccup in tech and anything happens to, you know, hiring practices or companies up and leave, I'm just wondering if there's much support for that high evaluation.
I mean, only if you're material costs and labor costs go up so much that, you know, the margin for a developer is so thin.
I guess where I'm going with that is that, you know, California is a very large market. Even the Bay Area is a large market. And I just, you know, there are pockets where prices per square foot in the Bay Area are still $500 a square foot. And then when you hit $2,000 a square foot in the Silicon Valley area, I just wonder if we might see, you know, pockets of, you know, more volatility in the next recession than maybe we might expect today.
Well, I don't want to sound like a spokesperson for the real estate industry, but you know, there is that shortage. The shortage persists. Businesses, in all likelihood, we could go through a correction in tech, and that could ripple through the housing market. Although tech's longer term prospects are reasonably good, I would say very bright, just considering some of the advanced tech areas, sectors, and biotech as well in the pipeline, whether it's here or elsewhere, that should remain a dynamic industry. Clearly, through there might be some hiccups, and that would show up in the housing market. But you do, I think, longer term, you still have that underpinning from tech, and we have a core and some attributes: the educational system, the entrepreneurship, the local economy. The core that we have in tech is strong enough that acts to retain that industry. You can't simply move away to, say, the middle of the country and establish a company. You could move up to Nevada, you know, set up manufacturing. But I think that's one reason why the demise of the tech industry, while we've talked about it over the years, never really developed to fruition. You move up the value-added ladder, and that's where the opportunity is. And I've got to believe that's that's going to be an underpinning to housing. So a hiccup, yes, maybe more severe than we're expecting, but between the supply and the underlying backbone of our local economy and the ability to retain those tech companies, I believe, should work in favor of the market. Great opportunity to be eating crow a year from now, but that's how I see it shaping
up. Well, Gary, thank you so much. We got to cut to another break. I know that your time is limited. You said you're going to have to go after this. So thank you again so much.
Thanks.
That's Gary Schlossberg, Wells Fargo chief economist, joining us today.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was good. Good
great
stuff.
All right. I'm looking forward to decomposing some of that stuff in the next segment.
Exactly. Okay. Third trivia question. Whose tombstone features the inscription, "That's all, folks"? All right. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investings will be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. Edward Brown here along with Mark Hanf. That was very good information from Gary Schlossberg.
Indeed.
Wells Fargo chief economist. Always love when we can join us. All right. Third trivia question. Whose tombstone features the inscription, "That's all, folks"? Let me try this again. That's all, folks.
I forget his name.
Mel Blanc.
Oh, that's right. Mel Blanc. Gosh.
I figured if I started that off, it would be a little too easy to guess.
So I told the audience at the end of the Gary Schlossberg interview, we would decompose that. Deconstruct. And, who did you say was decomposing in his grave?
Beethoven is decomposing in his grave.
Decomposing in his grave. Oh, my God. We have too much fun during the commercial breaks here.
Yeah, that's true.
No, great stuff from Gary. I was actually really thrilled to hear him talk about how really confident he feels about the Bay Area economy and real estate in the Bay Area. I kind of threw him what I thought was a softball that would allowed him to fire back if he was concerned about some of the high prices per square foot and whether they're sustainable and maybe susceptible in the next downturn. And he didn't really said a lot of the things that we've been saying here for years, which is, look, they're just not building new homes. It's just crazy. They're doing things like allowing you to build ADUs, accessory dwelling units, so-called granny units or in-law units. But, besides that, they're just, not a week goes by where I don't see an article in the paper about some local organization, putting up a lawsuit to stop yet another building project of significant size
in
the Bay Area.
Not in my backyard.
Yeah, I know, the whole NIMBY thing. So, so really, really interesting. And, it's amazing. I was reading, we didn't get a chance to really dive too deep into some of the reasons behind why experts are believing that long-term rates and hence mortgage rates are going to once again dip down, and we may see yet another extremely unexpected. I thought for sure we were done with the refinance booms, and we've had so many of them over the last 5 years, and it looks like we're going to enter into yet another potentially historically low mortgage rate market in the coming months. A lot depends on what happens with China and what happens with quantitative easing, which they're stopping the sales of the bonds.
I remember. Okay, this was the first rate cut in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. How many rate increases did we have over that?
Oh, good question.
Period?
I don't know. A lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of little ones.
A lot of little bumps, a quarter here and a quarter there. Yeah. So anyway, good stuff from Gary Schlossberg, chief economist of Wells Fargo, who he didn't say it outright, but like many, those calls for a recession in 2020 are quietly going away.
Push it off another year.
Push it off another year. Yeah. Now it's 2021.
There you go.
And 2022, your next recession, brought to you by.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on here to the Pacific Private Money Fund. All right. An email comes in and says, I heard you mention about a one-year hold on your fund, but you can add to it without starting a new one-year period. Can you please explain this?
So the listener actually means he's referring to a one-year lockup. And so whenever you invest in a mortgage fund or just about any kind of private placement is what they're talking about. Funds like the Pacific Private Money Fund are generally put together like private placements. Some are REITs, but for the most part, they're private placements, which really means they're just they're an LLC, and we put together an offering circular and a subscription agreement, an operating agreement. You get to read all of that stuff before you invest, and it's long and it's windy, it really talks about how the fund works, how it makes money, how you make money. And one of the many typical structures of a fund like a mortgage pool fund is a lockup period. And years ago, lockup periods used to be longer. It wasn't unusual for you to invest in a fund with a lockup period of 5 to 7 years. Oh, yeah. Then it went down to 3 years and then 2 years. In fact, when we started Pacific Private Money Fund, the initial lockup period was 2 years. Yeah. And then within the first year, we actually reduced it down to 1 year because what we kind of found was people liked the idea that they could get their money out sooner. But in practice, actually very few people take their money out. And so what we found is that we've never actually had to charge the penalty, the prepayment early withdrawal penalty. No one has ever closed out their account in less than a year. But the question was, okay, so you have a one-year lockup, which means if you open up an account, and our minimum opening is $50,000, and if you open up an account, you got to keep that money in there for at least a year. Otherwise, we have a 3% early withdrawal penalty, which again, we've never charged in the 6 years. A life of the fund to date. But what if I add more money? Does it reset the clock, or does that new money also have its own one-year lockup? Now, on some funds, it does. Some funds, that there is that tag-along where, if you open it up, but maybe 6 months later, you throw in another $50,000. Well, the first $50,000 has only 6 months left, but that new $50,000 has a new year. Well, we don't do that. That's just silly, I think. In fact, if it were up to me, we wouldn't have any lockup period, just because I think people, the returns we provide in the Pacific Private Money Fund are so, I want to say rare, and they are really. I mean, they're high. Their high yields are trailing 12-month distributed yield in the Pacific Private Money Fund is 7.5%, and that is that's a rare find in a fairly liquid, well secured real estate mortgage fund.
Yeah, it's not a negative yield like they have in Europe.
Right. And so we don't, we don't penalize investors. Your 12-month lockup period starts the day you open that account. And as many of our investors do, they start out with the minimum. They open up at 50. They get a few distributed yields a few months in. They see my newsletters. They get a chance to kind of get the feel from it. And then oftentimes they will add a substantial increase to their fund. We had one investor that opened up with 50 and within 3 months wrote us a check for $1 million. So we did not. So it doesn't reset the clock at the Pacific Private Money Fund. Your 1 year starts from the day you open your account. And even if you open up multiple accounts with us, we don't keep keep resetting the clock. We just really want you to understand that we'd rather you don't treat it like a money market account, because we do lend that money out for 12, 18, and 24-month terms. Generally speaking, what we found is that you treat people well, you do what you say you're going to do, you keep them informed, you send them regular reports, you make it easy, do what you say you're going to do, and they keep the money in. There's not a lot of alternative opportunities for people to earn the kind of yields we're paying. That's in our case secured by real estate mortgages mostly here in California.
Very good.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you?
So for more information, our website, which we're continuing to add information all the time, is at PacificPrivateMoney.com. That's PacificPrivateMoney.com. You go to the website, you click on the Invest tab, and there's a bunch of information in there for you. We are adding more information. In fact, we just did a bunch of explainer videos with one of our associates, and that we should be uploading those to the website soon. That's to help to explain a little bit easier how it is, what it is we do, what kind of loans we do, why people borrow from us, and how we make money with your money.
And the next segment, we're going to get into that because, if I'm the audience listening and I hear you're earning 7.5% roughly, I'm thinking that means you got to be charging the borrower more than that because you have to make money.
Yes, we do.
And I'm thinking, who would borrow at those kind of rates? It sounds too risky.
Yep.
But it's not.
And right. With bank rates going down to back in the threes again, why would anybody pay the kind of rates we would need to charge in order to pay our investors 7.5%?
Okay, well, stay tuned, and we're going to tell you that in the next segment. You're listening to The Best of Investing. Don't touch that dial. Hi, listeners. This is Edward Brown, your host. I had a 40-year-old listener sign up for a $500,000 life insurance policy guaranteed not to increase for the next 35 years at a cost of only $51 per month. Holy smokes, that's less than $2 per day guaranteed for 35 years. Imagine, this is probably the last life insurance policy this listener will ever need to buy because the premium is fixed for the next 35 years and it is from a well-known, highly rated company. For your free quote, call our toll-free number, 888-912-1190, and make sure to leave your name and ask for a free quote. I'll get right back to you. Hurry, as I suspect these rates will not last long. Again, call 888-912-1190 and ask you for your free life insurance quote.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hahn.
Indeed.
Indeed. Didn't have a trivia question, but Mark, we were telling the audience when we came back, we were going to kind of explain, if you're able to pay 7.5%+ to the investors, how much are you charging these borrowers, and why would anyone pay that rate?
Right, so our mortgage pool fund, the Pacific Private Money Fund, the trailing 12-month distributed yield to our investors to date is roughly 7.5%. So if we're paying our investors 7.5%, we got to make a profit there too. I mean, there's a management fee. We got to service the loans. We got to pay the fund administrator. We got to pay our CPA to do the tax returns. We got to do the fund audit every year. That costs money. So what are we charging? Well, we are charging between 9% and 10% for our money.
And who would borrow at those kind of rates?
Well, it is high, especially when mortgage rates are going to go below 4 again. And we don't think our rates are going to go down a whole heck of a lot more, although they may go down a little bit more. But, you know, to produce that 7.5% yield, yes, we got to charge rates in the 9s and then, you know, a couple of points, you know, 1.5 to 2.5 points on average. And the reason we can get that is that we occupy a niche in the loan demand space that serves people who need money fast. It also serves people who need money to buy real estate and can't get it from the bank, regardless of the 4% or less mortgage rates. And there's a lot of reasons why people can't get money from the bank. In the Bay Area, we have a lot of self-employed people, and self-employed people find it really difficult, especially to get purchase money loans. And a purchase money loan is exactly what it sounds like. It's you're going to buy real estate. And because we're in a competitive market, sellers don't give you a lot of time to close. In fact, sellers love it when you make an offer to close in, say, 21 days. Cash buyers are typical to do that. And if you want to compete with a cash buyer and use financing and you offer too much longer than 21 to 30 days, you're probably not going to get that contract. So the way a lot of buyers of real estate who need financing get away with aggressive offers and short closing periods is they use companies like Pacific Private Money to provide them with a short-term bridge loan. And yes, it costs more, but it's a tool to allow them to get the real estate. And especially if you're self-employed and you know it's going to take probably 90 days and maybe even 120 days now to get a bank loan because, you know, with rates going lower again, there's going to be yet another bums rush for refinancing. So if you call your mortgage agent, they're going to tell you probably, well, we're adding a couple of weeks on to our expected closing times because, you know, we're getting this rush of loan requests. So you know, the reason why, again, just to kind of circle back, and is that, you know, if you want to close quickly, you're probably not going to be able to do that with bank financing. If you're self-employed, you can get bank financing, but maybe not a purchase loan. Maybe you use us for a bridge loan to capture the property, get it in your name. Now you've got the time to put together all the stuff you need to do to prove your income, and maybe you got to move some money around. Maybe you got to let it sit in an account for a while. They call that seasoning, or create reserves for yourself. Because in the Bay Area, you know, we're in a pretty much a jumbo market, loan market here. And, you know, banks want to see, they want to see reserves, they want to see seasoning, they want to see your income, they want to see lots and lots of things. And it takes time to put that together. And yet another reason is, you know, maybe you're going through a divorce. Banks hate making loans to people who are going through a divorce. Well, where's the husband going to move to? He wants to buy a house to move into. We help a lot of people with those. What if mom and pa die and they leave their house to the siblings and one wants to sell and the other one wants to keep it? Where do they get a loan to buy that? Well, again, banks aren't usually thrilled with doing, you know, loans to trusts or to estates. And again, that's something that a lot of attorneys send business our way. So there's just, you know, just a surprising number of situations where our money, albeit expensive, is convenient and easy and fast and friendly. We make it, we're fast, friendly, and reliable at Pacific Private Money. And for more information, go to pacificprivatemoney.com. I know we got to wrap it up because we're out of time.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Here's our thoughts for the day. My motto, think like a proton and stay positive. I like that. And if at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you.
Right? Indeed.
All right. This was a good show. Gary Schlossberg from Wells Fargo, the chief economist. How lucky were we to have him on? Looks like we're not going to be headed into a recession this coming year, which is good. So tune in next week to The Best of Investing. We're going to be giving away more free prizes for answering trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown, wishing you the best of investing. So long.
You've been listening to The Best of Investing with Edward Brown. For more information on this program, call 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. Or visit bestofinvesting.com. And join us again next week for The Best of Investing on the Bay Area's Business Leader,
AM 1220 KDLW.
This radio broadcast is in no way an offer to sell securities except where applicable in states where we are registered or where an exemption or exclusion from such registration exists. Information discussed during this broadcast, whether stock quotes, charts, articles, or any other statement or statements regarding market or other financial information, is obtained from sources which we believe are reliable, but we do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. Nothing in this broadcast should be interpreted to state or imply that past results are an indication of future performance. There are no warranties expressed or implied as to accuracy, completeness, or results obtained from this broadcast.